The call for independent, and I use that in inverted commas, an independent Cape is not a new one. There have been political parties, particularly the Cape Party under Jack Miller, who've been contesting on a platform of a free and independent Cape Town. I think for the last 11 years, I think they first appeared on the ballot in 2011. But last week, the Democratic Alliance, I think the ACDP as the formalized political parties joining, and the Freedom Front Plus, joining a broader coalition called the Devolution Working Group. A platform to see where we can devolve major state policies into a workable form so that it is largely implemented at a local level. Policing has been used as this example. Alan Windey, as Western Cape Premier, has been using this as a political platform since the last general election. Jordan Neil Lewis, also as the mayor of Cape Town, also used this as a political platform. But there are some that see this as the first foot in the door to what they call Cape independence. First up, Phil Craig, will bring up Lorenzo David. You two have been going at it hammer and tongs on social media. I'm going to enjoy having you both on air at the same time. But Phil, you see it, and I see it, some of your comments are saying this is great. This is the first step to independence of what you would call an independent Cape. But you've had senior political figures within the Democratic Alliance, including Jordan Hill Lewis, saying, no, that's not the case. This is not a first step to independence. This is merely a conversation of how we can devolve major national policies and implement them at a local level.
Morning, Lester. Excuse me. Good to be with you. And morning, Lorenzo. It'll be nice to talk in person. Let's be clear. This is a devolution working group, and the focus of the working group is clearly, as the name sounds, devolution. So we've been quite clear from our side. Whilst we're a secessionist organisation, and we absolutely support Cape independence, I mean, it's our reason to be. This particular working group, that's not the focus here. So yeah, I think obviously, you know, people can get carried away and perhaps, you know, see things that they want to see. But the focus here is on devolution and how we provide better services to the people of the Western Cape, and how we actually provide political accountability to the people of the Western Cape, bearing in mind that the majority of Western Cape voters have never voted for the national government since 1994. So there's no political accountability. We've got this terrible, terrible national government that's incompetent and corrupt and cannot provide even basic services. I mean, it now quite literally cannot keep the lights on. And the people of the Western Cape, and other provinces too, but in this context, the Western Cape, need to be able to hold their government accountable and vote it out if it can't perform. And that's the heart of this. But the focus is very definitely on devolution. But I see you talked about policy discussions. I promise you, this is not about policy. It's not about discussions. This is absolutely about action. I think people have had enough, and we're looking for solutions. And this working group has come together to actually make these things happen and move beyond talking about them and beyond discussions.
You've mentioned democratically elected government. If you have a democratically elected government, it's your right to celebrate the achievements and to hold to account, and not when things are bad, and things are bad, to say, that's it, I've had out. You cannot simply just opt yourself out of a democratic process by saying, well, we don't like the current government and therefore we want to be independent.
I would differ with you. I think you absolutely can. I think that's not the devolution working group. That's a different conversation. But what you're talking about is the principle of self-determination, that all people have the right to be governed. I think the African Charter and Human and People's Rights said all people are free to pursue their chosen economic and social policy according to their freely chosen policy. And the people of the Western Cape at this point in time give their consent to being part of South Africa and being governed by the South African National Government. But if at some point they withdraw their consent and say, well, hang on a second, you know, for 30 years we've been governed by a party that we didn't elect and we really despise, and this system doesn't work for us, and actually, you know, we now want to have a different system, we want to exercise our right to self-determination in a different way, then the people of the Western Cape are fully entitled to do that. And just bear in mind that the independence movement, you know, we're asking for this democratically. We're not looking to enforce our views on anybody. We're just trying to stop other people forcing expressing their views on us. We're asking for a democratic referendum where everybody in the Western Cape gets to vote and say, would you like to remain a part of South Africa, or would you actually prefer to go it on your own and form a separate country, an independent Western Cape? And we're agreeing to abide by the outcome of the democratic wishes of the people of the Western Cape. And I think that's a moral position that's completely defensible. And what's the alternative? That actually the people of the Western Cape have no say in their futures and their outcome, and they must put in perpetuity have the views of the rest of South Africa forced upon them. I mean, that clearly isn't just.
We are part of South Africa. We are South Africans, are we not?
Well, we are for now, and we have been since 1910. But governments and borders change the whole time, and ultimately the right to self determination is quite clear in international law. The right to self determination is actually now cedes territorial integrity. Yes, that the rest of South Africa cannot force the Western Cape to be part of South Africa if it doesn't want to. And I think it's a fair question for the people of the Western Cape to say, well, what do we get out of a relationship from South Africa? You know, we actually get a terrible government that we didn't vote for, and all of these policies that we don't want forced upon us. And actually, what is the point of that? And whether people like the idea or not is fine. And I think, you know, clearly it's an evocative subject and everybody's entitled to their opinion. But certainly it's a perfectly reasonable moral position to hold. And we can't see borders that were drawn up in 1910 in an agreement between the British and the Boers has actually been binding for all time on the people of the Western Cape, regardless if 110 years later, the people who live here now want a fundamentally different system.
Let's give a shot at Lorenzo Davids. I won't ask you a question. I'll just ask for your response there, Lorenzo.
Yeah. Good morning, Lester. Good morning, Craig. This is quite bizarre, and it's getting more bizarre as I listen to Craig about this matter. The fact that this working group consists largely of conservative, right-wing, independent-leaning people is extremely worrying. How is it possible that a devolution working group, of which I am in full support of the notion and concept and policies of devolution to the furthest possible degree, consist only of thinkers who are either the political party, the DA, and the rest of the group, including the ACDP, are fairly much secessionist types of people. There are no moderate or even left-leaning voices within that democratic within that devolution working group. So this is a scam of note. It's using almost a visible policy platform to advance ideas, as Craig is correct, as has said and revealed here, they're working against the government that they distaste, that they hate. And that is so clear in everything that he says. How is it that we still tolerate that in 2022 we can assemble a group under the DA that are opposed of people who hate this democracy? Now, you can hate the party that governs the country, and then you go to the polls and you vote them out of power. That's not happened here. And so because you don't get your way, you just say, now I'm going to leave the class and go outside and play on my own. That doesn't happen in a democracy. That, in fact, is quite childish.
Lorenzo, I can credit the Freedom Front Plus that it has always been an election platform since Constant Viljoen deciding almost on the brink of war, deciding we're going to participate in democratic elections from 1994, but had it as a policy platform, an electoral platform to say, but we want a federal government. We want a federal state. It's always been the policy platform. I can appreciate that from an idea perspective. The Democratic Alliance also lately have been talking about, and they've spoken about devolution of particularly policing for quite some time. I'm going to give credit to Jordan Hill Lewis, our mayor, in clarifying the DA's role, saying this is not a conversation about independence. This is about the key policy proposals of particularly devolving policing policy to a local level. So I can appreciate those almost honest brokers within the political movements of that working group to say that they have been quite honest over the last while.
Are you asking me for a response?
For a response that they are honest brokers within that working group.
Oh, absolutely. I think the mayor has made his point clear. He said this is not about secession. This is about devolution. I support that. I have supported the mayor on that matter prior to this working group coming out. What I don't understand is how then does a working group come about that's populated by secessionists?
Phil, quick question here. Who did you vote for in the last general election to make this reality and forward this call of yours for an independent Cape State? Who did you vote for?
Look, to be honest, I'm not going to answer that because we're a bipartisan organisation and we've got people from all manner of political
parties.
Yes, we voted, yes.
Did you vote?
Yes, I did.
Did you vote? So you voted for a party that forwarded the policy or the electoral mission of an independent Cape?
I voted for a party that I felt best represented the wishes of the Western Cape people and could best serve them. Clearly we support secession. I support secession. So that was a factor in my decision making. Yes. Mm.
What percentage of the Western Cape would require for you to say we have the mandate? And where do you draw the boundaries of the Cape? Is it an old colonial Cape province, which does go as far as Mthatha in the east? It does go as far as Oranjemont, Kimberley, yeah, to the west. How far and how big is your independent Cape?
Okay. Look, can I just say one thing, because I don't want to embarrass our partners in the devolution group. It's sort of a slightly awkward situation where, for example, Lorenzo's saying, look, hang on a second, everybody wants to talk about secession. This is just a way of talking about secession. Just to be clear, the working group is not about secession. The press statement we put out collectively is not about secession. And as the CIAG, we've put out a separate then press statement saying, listen, this is not about secession. Actually, what's slightly bizarre for us in many ways is that nobody wants in the mainstream media wanted to talk about Cape independence when actually we've polled and that's our primary mission. And then when we're involved in a project that's actually about devolution, all everybody wants to talk about is Cape independence.
Because you've made it about Cape independence. I've seen your tweets and I've seen the people who support your movement. It's been a big rah-rah. Yes, we've got a foot in the door with this devolution group.
Yeah. Well, look, so that hasn't been our position. I mean, we've engaged with the main political parties for years. I think what happens, it's actually been the people like Lorenzo who've responded and turned this into a discussion about secession. But I mean, look, it's fun. I'm very happy to have a discussion about secession. I just want to be clear on that point. In terms of where are the borders, I think that ultimately that will depend on, or where would the borders be, that would depend upon the democratic will of the Western Cape people. We are pushing for an independent Western Cape, in other words, the existing Western Cape borders, and the reason for that is under international law, there are certain criteria laid out in the Montevideo Convention, which say the criteria of statehood, and so you define borders, a political authority, and a permanent population. Mm. Clearly in the Western Cape we have that. But I think what's likely to happen, and for people to understand the process, we'd have a referendum, which would be non-binding. If the people of the Western Cape express the desire for independence, then there will be negotiations between the national government and the provincial government, and the terms of that secession would then have to be agreed. And in that process, I think then there would be a wider discussion around where those borders must fall. And I don't think the historical borders are really going to have any significance at all. I think the democratic will of the people alive today are going to determine that. But we probably are going to see people in the southernmost portion of the Northern Cape and the westernmost portion of the Eastern Cape who also traditionally reject the South African national government and its policies, because we've got this ideological line between one part of the country that holds one set of ideological views, and we can see that from its voting patterns for 30 years, and another part of the country that holds fundamentally different ideological views. And I think the final border would have to be democratically defined in accordance with the democratic the will of people living there. And I think, broadly speaking, if you bring up a voting map and see who votes DA and who votes ANC, if we can make that binary, you'll see where the borders are likely to end up.
I'm going to give Lorenzo the last word. I've mulled over this for the better part of a year, Lorenzo, of whether I should, having a platform while respecting Phil's decision and policy and platform to have these ideas. I wish Phil really no bother in terms of having these views, but I've always wondered, should I provide ventilation for a conversation like this on a public platform? Because and Phil will probably correct me a bit later. It seems as Phil doesn't understand or know in where his independent Cape Republic stands and who lives here.
Yeah, I mean, it's becoming more worrying as I listen to Phil. This is deep neo-apartheid 2022. A, you know, the United States have a southern part of the country that is all GOP in the north and west of the country that is sort of Democrat. Should the United States split up into two different countries? Should the rest of the world do that as well? Just see the voting patterns and then split the map? It's so bizarre that that's the logic that infuses these people. The second thing that is so bizarre is that Phil uses the language of the word. He speaks of self-determination. Now look at his tweets. He speaks of the people of the Western Cape must have the right to protect their cultures. He speaks of whites who live in this country since 2020 and have associations in the Western Cape are all welcome to be members of these future Western Cape. But black people who've lived here, who are of Bantu origin, with links elsewhere in the country, will not be allowed to become citizens of the Western Cape. This is new apartheid. We are looking at a man advancing apartheid under our noses, sitting in a meeting with Jordan Hill Lewis and Helen Ziller and Alan Windey and deciding on devolution. How is it that we are so blind that we cannot see this man, Phil Craig, for who he is? He's an advocate of neo-apartheid and advanced views. I have no problem with his views. He can say what he wants to. But sit in policy positions and make us, who are advocates for a greater South Africa, silence us, mute us, and not invite us to a meeting like that is quite frankly an insult to the democratic integrity of this country, and we should not allow it.
Lorenzo, would you sit on a devolution working group to discuss how do we logically, from a policy level, how do we devolve certain aspects of our state to see that local government or provincial government sees to certain aspects of our state, whether it be policing, whether it be teaching. Would you sit on that and participate? Phil, would you invite Lorenzo to sit on that working group to talk about how we actively devolve certain aspects of our state to a local level?
Well, before I say anything, I have to take Lorenzo to task, because, I mean, that was really offensive and actually totally slanderous and inaccurate. We are an avowedly non-racial organisation. I am deeply, deeply non-racial. And the notion that what we're looking for is in any way about inviting different people of different colours is nonsensical. Our manifesto is written in the three languages of the Cape, including Isicore. So we've got black people and coloured people sitting alongside us in executive committee of the CIAG. You know, this is absolutely for everybody. Go to our website. We are proposing this on the democratic will of everybody. We certainly are not looking to exclude anybody on their race. I think that's deeply, deeply offensive and unfair. And in terms of support,
have to explain what it means to say self-determination. That's a Voutian term. What does that mean?
Well, unfortunately, it's not a Voutian term, and this is the frustration. Self-determination is a fundamental principle of international law. It's in Article 2 of the United Nations chapter.
But the word has a meaning in South Africa. It has a very loaded meaning this country.
So, in other words, it was misused by the apartheid government. Unfortunately,
it again.
Well, because it's a fundamental principle of international law, so we have to not misuse it, but we can't change the word. It's written in the United Nations Charter, it's written in all the international charters, it's written in the African Charter of Human Rights, it's written in the South African Constitution, and the ANC government uses it regularly, calling for self-determination for the Western Saharans, self-determination for the Palestinians, self-determination for the South Sudanese. It's a term that everybody's allowed to use, apart from the people of the Western Cape, seemingly, but there's nothing wrong with self-determination. Actually, it's now recognized as a just Coven's right of international law. It's a human right of people. And it's got nothing to do with race. It's literally got nothing to do with race. It's got to do with the fact that if the people of the Western Cape find themselves in a situation where for three decades Lorenzo says vote the government out. You can't vote out a government that you didn't vote in. The point is the people of the Western Cape cannot
This is similar to the argument that the Democratic Alliance and parties that lose the election use. They blame voters. Shouldn't you not be blaming the political parties who have not been offering a political alternative to voters?
No,
that is democracy.
So is self-determination. So, Self-determination is fundamental to democracy. So the answer is you can't be trapped in a system that was created in 1910 for all times. And it's bizarre that we have the situation where we recognise the injustices, and I recognise the injustices of colonialism in our past, but actually we maintain the borders that they impose.
Running up to Eyewitness News. Yeah. Full Craig, really appreciate it. Lorenzo Davids, CEO of the Development Impact Fund. Let me know when you get invited to the Devolution Working Group. Lorenzo, I'd like to give some and read over some of the policy documents myself. Stay